I've heard people say that God spoke to them through a dream. Some say that God spoke to them through a vision. Is a dream and a vision the same thing? What's the difference between a dream and a vision? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio now as we take a look in the book.
Subject, obey the vision. Obey the vision found out of the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 12 through 22. You can remain seated. I just want to read verses 12 through 19. The Bible says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in a way a light from heaven about the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the prick? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and to whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And then verse 19, which is where I got the title from, it says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." That's what I want to talk about this morning. Obey the vision. Obey the vision. Can you say that with me this morning?
Obey.
Say it one more time.
Obey.
Obey the vision. And I want to give you three things this morning as it relates to obeying the vision. First of all, the necessity of a vision. The necessity of a vision. In other words, the need for a vision. What is a vision? A vision is divine instructions in the form of a visual, or in a visual form. It is divine instructions in a visual form. It is revelation knowledge in a visual form. Oh, I don't know if you're with me. It's God speaking to man in a visual form. Somebody say, well, that could be a dream then. Well, there's a difference, though, between a dream and a vision. A dream is God is speaking to man while he sleep. A vision is God is speaking to man in a visual form while he's woke. One is God speaking to man while he's sleep. The other one is God speaking to man while he's awake. Depending on whether or not you are woke or whether or not you sleep is going to determine whether that was a dream or a vision. If you sleep and God's speaking to you, that's a dream. But if you are awake and God is speaking to you, then that's a vision. Are you with me, Bible way? Paul didn't have a dream. He wasn't asleep on Damascus Road. Paul had a vision on Damascus Road. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me right here in verse number 13, it says at midday. Notice, in the middle of the day, he says, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, notice they had saw the vision and they was fallen to the earth. He says, I heard a voice. He didn't say they did. He says, I heard a voice. Isn't that something? Sometimes you can see the same thing, but not everybody get the same information. Paul says, he didn't say we heard. He says, I heard a voice speaking unto me, not to them, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute thy me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Oh, that's a lot of theology right there. Oh, if I had time this morning, I would talk a little bit about why you don't necessarily have to have a prayer language in order to speak to God. But why is that? Because God knows every language. You know, a lot of times people, they start speaking in tongues sometime in church and they say, well, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. No, God knows your language. He knows English just like he knows Chinese. You don't have to try to get on God's level to try to speak a heavenly language. God will come down here and speak yours. Oh, but that's for another time. It said it's hard for thee to kick against the prick. It's back in Bible days, they would have like a stick, and they would kind of use that stick to kind of prod the animal like the ox along, and that stick would be sharp, but sometimes that old stubborn ox would kind of fight. He didn't want to go that way, but he would hurt himself because the man would have that sharp stick. You're going to have to go that way. Paul was trying to go in the wrong direction, and God is letting them know the reason that your life ain't turning out like you want it to turn out is because it's hard to kick against the prick. How many of you know that when you don't go God's way, you ain't so much hurting God by not doing God's will, you're hurting yourself? He says, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecuted. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. Somebody say purpose. His purpose was to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Let me tell you something. Without vision, Paul was going the wrong way. Without vision, he was kicking against the prick. He was hurting himself. Without vision, he didn't even know who the Lord was. Without vision, he didn't even know his purpose in life. Listen. Without vision, you don't know who the Lord is. Without vision, you don't know your purpose in life. Without vision, you don't understand the meaning of life. Without vision, you're hurting yourself. But once you get vision, then that puts you on the right road. Once you get vision, you start going in the right direction. Once you get vision, you start doing the right thing. Once you get vision, you understand your purpose in life. Once you get vision, you understand the meaning of life. So there's the necessity of vision. Why is people so lost today? It's because they don't have vision. You never will understand your purpose in life without having vision from God. Unless God shows you, in other words, you'll never know what you're supposed to do without vision. As a matter of fact, you need vision because sometimes you don't understand your calling without vision. I'm reminded of Isaiah. Isaiah was going through a time of bereavement. But he went to church and he says, it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he said, I heard the angels saying, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is full of his glory. And he said, I heard the Trinity in conversation going back and forth. They was asking each other, who shall we send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, I'll go if you only send me. Listen, listen. He would not understood his calling in life without a vision. Let me tell you something. You won't understand your calling in life without vision. As a matter of fact, you will feel like a defeated Christian without vision. Abraham had won the battle in Genesis 14. He went and rescued Lot, went up against five kings with 300 men, 318 men. He won the battle, but he felt like he was a loser. Even though winner take all, but Abraham said, no, I don't want this stuff. Because if I take anything that the world got and they give me, y'all will be going around bragging and said, y'all made Abraham rich. He said, so I don't want nothing. All I want is Lot back. But he knew that Lot wasn't no stay there alone with him. How many of you know once you get an itch, once a child get an itch for the streets and once get an itch to move on out and do some worldly things there. You can try to put them in a cage. You can try to lock them up. But soon as that cage door is unlocked, boom. Hello, somebody. You don't have to say amen this morning. Just nod your head. Amen. 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 And he knew Lot wasn't gonna be there alone with him. And Abraham was grieving because he wanted a child. And he was past the age. Abraham was past 75 and Sarah was past 65. But how many of you know that age is no problem for God? God showed up in Abraham's tent one night and said, come on out, Abraham. Let me show you something. He said, look up here. Look at these stars. He said, go ahead and count them. Abraham couldn't count the stars. He says, you can't count the stars? He says, Abraham, just like all these stars, you can't count them. That's how many descendants you're going to have. So shall your descendant be. Listen, Abraham would have felt like a loser, even though he was a winner. But the thing that turned it around from that made him start feeling like he was a winner again was he had a vision from God. Somebody came to church feeling like you're a loser. But I stopped by to tell you today, God want to give you a fresh vision today that you can see that you're not a loser. You're a winner. You're not the tail, but you are the head. You're not beneath, but you are above. Oh, yeah. The thing that turned it around for him was vision. Elijah, what's wrong? You done ran 90 miles. You done ran out the country. What's wrong, Elijah? Jezebel said she finna kill me. And you done ran from Jezebel. Because Jezebel got a contract out on your life. When a day's journey set up under the juniper tree and made a request to God, he says, God, I'm praying that you go ahead and take my life. I'd rather die than live. God sent an angel down there and fed him. And he says, eat, Elijah. Elijah ate one time. He said, eat again, Elijah. Elijah ate again. He said, because Elijah, you got to go in the strength of this food. And Elijah went 40 days on that one meal. How many of you know that God can still work supernatural things? Hello, somebody. But he was still depressed and went in the cave. And God said, come here, Elijah. I'm going to come by and speak with you today. Elijah was at the door of the cave. The Bible says the wind came by and shook everything, started shaking stuff. But the Bible says God went in that wind. The Bible says the earth started shaking. But the Bible says that God went in that earthquake. But then the Bible said there was a still small voice that came by. And God was in that still small voice. See, sometimes people get depressed because they're looking for the spectacular. They're looking for something big. They're looking for folks to be shouting and fall out to let you know that the Spirit of God is here. No, God moves in stillness and quietness. Even though nobody may not shout it in church, you can have the best church in the world because God moves sometimes. Just be shh. But you'll miss God if you're looking for the spectacular. God just want to speak a quiet word to your soul. That's all you need. You don't need for the firecrackers to go off. You don't need for the bombs to be blasting in your life. All God needs to do is just speak a little word in your heart. And it'll turn your life around. That's what happened with vision. And that's what people need today. That's what's missing in people's life. They need a fresh vision from Almighty God. And you need vision because the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. There's the necessity of vision. Number two, obey the vision. Obey the vision. Look what Paul says here in the text. Look what Paul says here in the text. It says, verse 19 and 20, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of the masters and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do the work meet for repentance. Look what Paul said. Paul says, I got a vision from God on that road that God was calling me to preach. And he said, and that's what I did. I started right there where I was at. How many of you know that God wants you to start right where you're at? He said, I started right there in Damascus, and then I went to Jerusalem, and then I went through all the coast of Judea, and then I went to the Gentiles. He says, I was not disobedient, King Agrippa, to the heavenly vision. Why did Paul say, I was not disobedient? It's because most people are disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, y'all awfully quiet on me this morning. I said, most people are not like Paul. When God show them something, they don't always jump on board and step out in faith and obey. Don't you remember Jonah? God told Jonah, Jonah, listen, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach over there in Nineveh. But what did Jonah do? Jonah, he went down to the port there, and he caught a ship that went in the opposite direction, and he paid the fare. He was disobedient to the instructions of God. Can I tell the truth and shame the devil this morning? I can recall the first vision that I got from God. I was a teenager. I don't know exactly how old I was because I really didn't know that this was a vision. But I was about 15, maybe 16 years old. I was sitting in church just like you sitting in church this morning. I was about halfway of the church, just like many of you are halfway of the church this morning. I was watching the preacher, just like you doing this morning, watching the preacher. I was listening to the preacher, just like you doing this morning, listening to the preacher. But all of a sudden, I saw myself in the pulpit preaching. And then I heard a voice, not through my ear, but through my spirit, saying, one day you're going to be up here preaching. I shook that off. I said, not me. Not me. I can't even get a sentence out good. So I had a stuttering problem. So I said, no way in the world I'm going to be a preacher. And every time I went to church and I saw a preacher preach, I started remembering that vision. I started not going to church every Sunday because I didn't want to compare myself with that preacher in that pulpit, because that thought would always come to me, you're going to be up here one day. You're going to be up here preaching one day. So I came on out here to Texas. And I started going to a Methodist church right over here in Irving, Texas. But right there, I started getting that same thought. You're going to be up here one day. You're going to be preaching. Until eventually, I had to just accept the vision and obey the vision. I tried to ignore the vision. I tried to run from the vision. But eventually, I had to just do one thing and obey the vision. Last year, this time, I was praying about a mission, praying about getting the church involved in foreign missions. I said, Lord, I believe you want us to, number one, grow right there where we're at. We're doing a good job, and the Lord was saying you just need to bloom where you're planted. Just like a tree, you just need to bloom where you're planted, that people can enjoy the fruit and that people can come and participate. But also, the Lord starts showing me about planting churches and helping churches. And I said, Lord, I want to do some mission work overseas. But Lord, I'm not trying to tell you my requirements are for me to do mission work. But Lord, if you could fix it, because you can fix anything. I said, Lord, if you can just fix it for us to be able to do mission work close by, particularly the first trip, because, Lord, I don't want to go way on the other side of the world just yet, because that'll scare a lot of people away. Could you fix it where we got some close by? And could you fix it, Lord, to make it affordable, where it don't cost that much? That way, not only can I go, but I can take a group of people. I can take a team with me. I say, then, Lord, if you could fix it now I know you can do it, and I ain't trying to, have my own way here, Lord. But if you could fix it where we wouldn't have to stay out in the bush where the mosquitoes get us. If you could fix it where we can, stay in the missionary house or something, Lord. I ain't trying to be choosy, but Lord, I don't want for us to take four or five people somewhere and they get all bit up by mosquitoes and it's a bad experience, and then they come back here putting out a bad report here at the church. Lord, let it be a good report when we come back. So I went to this meeting about this time last year, and it was dealing with Ecuador, and this pastor was sharing his vision. He started sharing his vision to get 12 other pastors to partner with him.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah, yeah.